Good evening and welcome to Lines of Honorable Men. I hope you had a fun with the first exam. As always, I have some that just will try to guess at the answers when the answers are right in the book. It's an open book test. If you missed any of the questions on the exam, and you missed it because either you didn't capitalize where capitalization was necessary, or you just didn't read. So once again, this first exam is a warm-up, and I wanted you to experience what I mean about reading and what I want you to do in reading and how I want you to gain certain information out of the book that we might not be able to cover in class. Some of us think we could just operate off of our intelligence and what we think the answer is. But when we're working and working for, and God is working through us, working for God, He's working through us, excuse me, it will not always be about our intelligence, but it'll be about how well we can listen to His voice and yield to His voice and obey His voice. So a lot of times God don't necessarily use the most intelligent person. God uses the most obedient person. And so we have to train ourselves. That's the purpose of the exams, is to train ourselves to be accurate, to know what we're reading, understand what we're reading, and be able to regurgitate what we read. That's how God operates. Matter of fact, that's how in the Old Testament, that's exactly how they had to operate, because they didn't have the luxury of having a Bible. They didn't have the luxury of having 66 books of other people's experience with God that we can reference. You know, when Moses, when Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we talked about Jacob last week, when they heard the word of God, they heard the voice of God, they had to remember what God was saying in order to obey what God was saying. So it's not always about the most intelligent, but it's about the most obedient and those that can understand what the will of the Lord is. And so it's a good segue to talk about, said about Jacob. Last week, we began to talk about Jacob and his encounters with God, how he had that dream of angels going up and down a ladder. And what it represented was God wanted to enter the earth realm. And we as Christians, his children, we have the unique ability of going to a place where those others who are not connected to God cannot go. We have the unique and divine privilege of going into the supernatural. But in order to get into the supernatural and live in the supernatural, you have to get rid of all of your flesh, things that's in the flesh that's stopping you. That's the whole point of the story with Jacob wrestling the angel. He thought he was wrestling an angel and was going to make the angel bless him. But when that angel touched that bone and touched that joint and broke him down, Jacob realized that the blessing of God wasn't to be taken. It was to be received. So it wasn't based on Jacob's efforts. It was based on God's grace, God's mercy, God's energy given to us to do what He's asking us to do. Once Jacob realized that, see, because God had made a promise to Abraham, his father, his grandfather, had made a promise that hey, I'm going. You can look at the dust, look at the stars in the sky. That's how your seed gonna be. That same promise and same covenant He cut with Jacob, but Jacob was trying to access the blessings or the blessings of the covenant through his flesh. You and I cannot inherit the covenant blessings of God in the flesh. We're going to have to be in the spirit. And so that was that story of the transition of Jacob leaving all of his flesh connections, leaving all of his efforts, and began to allow God to lead him. That's why God changed his identity from Jacob to Israel. Once he became Israel, his identity changed. He knew that he was going to usher in God's covenant. He was going to usher in the blessings of God, but it cannot be done through the flesh. So having said that, we'll go to chapter 2 tonight, the purpose of the church. See, the church, we're going to have to be in the supernatural. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, it will not be fulfilled by our rules, our regulations, and what we think ought to happen. It's only going to be fulfilled with God's ideas coming to pass. So the church has to function in the supernatural. Now, the only way the church can function in the supernatural is that the purposes of God be first and foremost. We cannot make up what we want in the church. So it has to be about God's purpose for the church, God's reasoning for the church. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter. God, Jesus, who is the chief cornerstone of the church, who is the foundation for which the church is built on, he broke down and gave us his presentation and his in his first presentation, he gave us of the church, what the church is about, what the purpose of the church is. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want you to go there. Matthew, the 16th chapter. I give you time to get there. Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 13. Now, most of you are familiar with this particular passage, but Jesus gave us the three purposes of the church in this particular passage. All right. I want you to pay attention to it because we'll go through this and we'll see the three purposes. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, as one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this is key. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, watch what Jesus answered and said unto him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Remember now, we got to go back to what we talked about last week with Jacob. Jacob could not inherit or receive the blessing of the covenant in the flesh. He had to shift into the supernatural. He couldn't just watch the angels go up and down the ladders, up and down the ladders. He himself had to go up the ladder, which is a representation of him leaving the natural and being present in the supernatural, in the spirit world. So here we see Jesus is telling Simon Barjona, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, here's a key point. Jesus said flesh and blood did not reveal who I was to you. Didn't come through the flesh and blood. You can only know this by my Father. Because at that point, God was the only one that really knew who Jesus was. So here, the church, first thing we got to realize is we cannot be going around making up stuff. It has to be revealed from the voice of God, from the mouth of God, by the Holy Ghost. We can't just be going around making up stuff. That's what a lot of denominations do. They go around making up stuff, even beginning from the Catholic Church in the way beginning when they were selling salvation. That's one of the reasons why they didn't want people to have the Bible written in Latin. They didn't want it written in the original language of the person, people that they were ministering to, so that they can make stuff up as they go along. See, we the church, even to this day, we the church cannot even take the scriptures and begin to make things up. Scriptures that are not impressed upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit or opened up by the Holy Spirit to our souls, to our hearts, won't be effective because we will not understand the will of God. The Bible says, "Be not wise in your own sight, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Don't be wise on your own, but you need to understand what God's will is. The only way we can figure out or the only way we can discover, rather, the will of God is through His Holy Spirit. I want you to grasp that. I want you to understand that this is not something that we could just make up. Listen, there are going to be false doctrines that come up. People come up with all kind of revelations, basically revelations to tickle people, for revelations that will fit their situation rather than challenging them to change their situation. One of the things that one of the revelations that they think was a revelation that people tried to ride was this grace message, that grace covers all sin. Yes, grace covers sin, but the ultimate purpose of grace is not to cover your sin. The ultimate purpose of grace is to empower you. Empower you to do what? Whatever God asks you to do. The word grace is in the New Testament is only translated in one word, charis. You see that word, every time you see the word grace, in every scenario that grace is used, whether it's talking about sin, whether it's talking about doing the will of God, whether it's talking about being protected, all of it is translated in one word. So that means that word never changed its meaning. There's no, like the word love has is agape. But then you got different Greek words for love, and it can change. But in the Bible, in the Word of God, the Greek word for grace is charis, and it never changes. So that means the same grace that can cover your sin, the same grace that can cause you to do what God has asked you to do. So really, grace is an empowerment. So grace empowers you. It don't necessarily cover your sin. It empowers you so that you cannot sin anymore. When you receive that grace, you become empowered. The Apostle Paul has said in Romans, the 12th chapter, through the grace that's given to me. So in other words, the Apostle Paul said, I've been empowered to tell you what I'm about to tell you. So it is an empowerment. So one of the false doctrines we have is that you can do anything you want. You can sin when you get ready, and you can just do it consciously, and grace will cover you. That's not the case. Because when you sin willfully, you're telling God, I don't want your grace. You're telling God, I'm going to do this on my own. God, I'm choosing to do this. So now when your choice is made, God can't override your choice with grace, or He can't empower you not to sin when you want to sin. So there are going to be some false doctrines, because people want to make things up. They want to seem relevant in the body of Christ. They want to seem important. They want to be popular. They want to fit the circumstances of people. So many people are going to have off-the-wall revelations. And watch this. The invalidated word of God will paralyze the church. What I mean by invalidated, the word of God that's not been breathed on by the Holy Spirit. Revelations that are not backed by the Holy Spirit. When they're not backed by the Holy Spirit, it is invalidated, and it causes the church to come to a standstill. So those of us who really want the will of God to come to pass, those that want to be apostolic and structure heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be open, we cannot deal with invalidated word of God. We got to have validated word of God, authentic word of God, Holy Ghost inspired revelation, which will catapult us and give us direction towards what God wants to be accomplished. I hope you're hearing me. Watch this. The best way to expose the inaccurate teaching and doctrinal errors is by raising a new breed of disciples who will live and model the revealed truth of God, of what God is currently speaking. That's what Jesus did in this 16th chapter of Matthew's. Because we're going to read further. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Watch this. Look at verse 18. Watch, Jesus said something powerful. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Here we go again. Remember last week, glory to God. Remember last week when Jacob, when that angel touched his joint, meaning dismantling his flesh, taking his flesh out of control. When that angel did that, the next thing the angel did was change his identity. Or not so much change it, but cause him to see who he truly was. He was going by the name Jacob, but he really was Israel. Israel, the seed, was coming out of him. God's people was coming out of him. He was the beginning, Abraham, onto him, the beginning of the seed of Israel. So that's why his name was Israel, because you're the father of many nations. He made him, once he gave up all his flesh holes, he recognized who was. The same thing happened here. When Simon Bar-Jonah allowed God to reveal to him who Jesus was, Jesus said, hey, you, let me tell you who you really are. Let me show you your real identity. Thou art Peter. Now, most people preach this and think that Peter is the rock. No, the rock, this rock that he said he would build his church upon, is a process. Listen to that now, a process. He said, and unto thee that thou, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Okay, he changes Simon Bar-Jonah's identity. He's now Peter. And upon this rock, not Peter, this rock is a process. He said, upon this process, I will build my church. What process is Jesus talking about? Well, let's go back again. We're in class, right? Let's go back earlier to when Jesus began to question them and ask them who they thought he was. In verse 15, he came and said, he said to them, but whom do ye say that I am? Talking to the disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch what Jesus said. I want to make this clear now, because upon this process, upon this rock, is how Jesus is going to build the church. Watch this. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So what happened? What transpired? Simon Bar-Jonah had the ability to hear from another dimension. We call it revelation knowledge or revealed knowledge. Knowledge that always existed, but our eyes or our soul couldn't comprehend it. So the Holy Spirit came in to help Simon Bar-Jonah recognize or perceive or really receive information that he couldn't receive any other way. Revealed knowledge, revelation knowledge. This is important now. Revealed knowledge, revelation knowledge. Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah was walking with the Messiah, hanging out with the Messiah, but never realized who the Messiah was until this moment. And Jesus said, only God, my Father, revealed this to you. Jesus said, and upon this process, what process? The process of you yielding, you becoming a living sacrifice, you yielding your thoughts to God, you getting rid of your ego, and let me download information to you. That's how the church is going to be built. So in your everyday life, the way you establish the kingdom of God in the earth realm is that you're going to have to be aware of revelation knowledge, knowledge that the regular person can't get, knowledge that the carnal Christian can't get, knowledge that the average person can't get because they're not looking for it. They're not open to God downward. They can't get their flesh out of the way. I hope you're hearing me. Jesus said, upon this process, upon this rock, I will build my church. Look at what he says. He said, and the gates of hell, verse 18, the B part, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So every time you get revelation knowledge, every time you get God's wisdom on it, whatever you're dealing with, you can expect the gates of hell to be torn down in that area of your life. Satan can't handle revelation knowledge. Satan cannot deal with revelation. Let me give you an example. Go with me to, I think it's Luke, the fourth chapter. Let me see. Let me make sure I got it right. Luke, the fourth chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it to my remembrance. Luke, the fourth chapter. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Luke, the fourth chapter. Turn me to Luke, the fourth chapter. We're about to see Jesus put this in action. About to see Jesus put revealed knowledge in action. And you will also see why it's important that you get revealed, not why you get revealed knowledge or revelation knowledge or letting this process that Jesus talks about. The process of what? Letting God, letting the Holy Spirit download information to you that you wouldn't normally be able to access. Watch this. In Luke, the fourth chapter and the first verse, and Jesus being, watch this, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is what? Written. That man should not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every word of God. Verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is what? Written, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. All right, you with me? Go to verse 10. Let's go to verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Now, verse 10. Notice verse 10 is not written in red, because we know everything else written in red is Jesus talking. Notice verse 10 is not written in red. So that means who's talking? I'm awake. That means Satan is talking. Because remember now, verse 3, and the devil said unto him. So it was only him and the devil. So verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee and to keep thee. And in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is Satan quoting the Bible. But here's the beauty of revelation knowledge. Look at verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Notice the other time when Jesus talked, it is written. It is written. Verse 4. It is written. Verse 8. It is written. Verse 10. Satan said, it is written. Verse 12. Jesus came and said, it is said. Remember now, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. So that means the Holy Spirit was there with him. So the Holy Spirit gave him information, downloaded information to him that Satan could not deny and can no longer deal with. Because watch what happened. When Jesus said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed to him for. for a season. Did you get that? Jesus used the process. Go back to Matthew 16 chapter. Jesus used the process. What process? The process of accessing information in the spirit world that the average person cannot access. You and I have the right to access revelation knowledge from the mind of God. This is why it is important. It is very important for you to have your mind renewed so that you can prove or recognize Romans 12 and 2, the good and perfect will of God. Recognize. So that's why, number one, Romans 12 and 1, you have to become a living sacrifice. Verse 2 says that you have to yield your thoughts to his thoughts. Verse 3 says you got to get rid of your ego. If you don't do that, then it'll be impossible for you to work this process. To work this process. To work this, your ability to be able to access information that you normally can't access. That's what happened to Jacob. That's what happened to Peter. That's what happened to Jesus. And that's what can happen to you. You have the right as a child, blood-bought child of God. You have a right to access information that the average person cannot access. You even have a right to access information that a carnal Christian can't access. A carnal Christian can't access the mind of God because they won't get their mind out of the way. Are you hearing me? So there are three purposes, the three major purposes of the church. Now, in order for us to understand the three major purposes, this process got to be working in our lives. Because watch what Jesus said. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys," keys, plural, "of the kingdom of heaven." Other words, Jesus said, "I will give you the keys," not the key, "the keys," plural, "of heaven's ways of doing things." Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Look how, watch how this works. The apostolic, one of the purposes of the apostle is to structure heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened so the people of God can access the supernatural, access the blessing, access information that they wouldn't normally get to. He said, "I will give you the keys," or "I will give you what it takes to manifest heaven on earth." Look what it does. He said, "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So keys, plural. What are the keys? Revelation knowledge. People trying to preach and trying to develop all kind of keys. No. Keys is whatever God says. See, that's one of the things I love about faith. Faith is a now thing. It is a present moment thing. We can't live, the only person's faith that we can live off of that's in the past is Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So I can't live off of anybody else's faith but Jesus' faith. And Jesus' faith is always current, always in the present moment, always giving me answers for now. Jesus told us how to pray. "God, give us this day our daily bread." What is that daily bread? Keys. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth," or a current English term, "proceeds," a constant process out of the mouth of God. Now do you understand why it's so hard for you to meditate the word of God sometimes? Now do you understand why distractions come when you get ready to settle down and hear what God is saying? Now do you understand why Satan tries to interrupt you? Because Satan knows that when you get revelation knowledge, He cannot prevail against it. God's word would not return, glory to God. His word would not return unto him void. It will accomplish whereto he sent it. So that means when you get revelation knowledge, when you get inside information, when you get information that cannot be accessed but only in the spirit realm, and you come back in the natural and ready to walk it out, there's nothing Satan can do about it. Nothing. So that has to be understood for us to understand the purpose of the church. Because if we're going to establish a church, it's going to have to be a constant working of the process. Are you listening? A constant working of the process. Hearing the voice of God, walking it out. Hearing the voice of God, walking it out. Now, Jesus also told us in this presentation of the kingdom of heaven, of the purpose of the church, the three major purposes of the church. If you've been reading, you know where I'm about to go. If you have been reading, you're about to learn where we're about to go. In Matthew, in the 16th chapter, Jesus gave us three major purposes of the church. Look at verse 17. The first major purpose of the church is to reveal the Father. What it means to reveal the Father? When we obey the voice of God, we're revealing the Father. Go to 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Watch this. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John, not the Gospel of John. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Let's see. Look at verse 16. Let me make sure I got the right one. Yeah, this is it. I'm looking for a certain scripture. Hold on a minute. Let me look for it. Oh, yeah, verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So what it's saying is nobody has ever seen God, but when we love one another, what it means to love one another? It means to obey God towards each other. When we do that, other people see God revealed. So when we obey God, go back to Matthew 16 chapter. When we obey God, the Father is revealed. All right? The Father is revealed. Go back to Matthew 16 chapter. The second purpose of the church, Matthew 16. Look at the 18th verse. The 18th verse says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. The second purpose of the church is to shut down the gates of hell. All this chaos that we have been going around in our country and the world, it is the church's job to shut that foolishness down. And look, just voting ain't gonna shut it down. I know some of y'all thought just vote. I know some of y'all think y'all vote is gonna make things happen in the supernatural. No, your vote is just to get in agreement with some people in the natural. But we, the church, have to shift to the supernatural, because whether you know it or not, Satan is the one causing the chaos. It manifests in people, but Satan is the one behind it all. And so we, the church, have to operate in our God-given ability so that the gates of hell will be shut down. All right? Purpose number three. We probably got to get into this next week because I'm almost finished. Purpose number three, look at verse 19. He said, now give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The third purpose of the church is to extend the kingdom without limitation. We have keys. We have the ability to shut things down and to open things up. The church has the ability to shut things down and open things up. So let's go over the three purposes of the church again. The three purposes of the church is to, number one, reveal the Father. Number two, shut down the gates of hell. And number three, extend the kingdom without limitation. All right. So how is that going to be done? Through the process. What's the process? The process of being able to download information from another realm. Information that other people can't access. Information that Satan can't access. Information and the grace that Satan cannot deal with. Remember now, we went to Luke, the fourth chapter. I'm going over some things I want you to realize. Every situation that you have in your life where it seems like the gates of hell are trying to prevail against you, when you yield to the process, when you yield to the process, see, this is why I started off 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago talking about being God-centric, not self-centric. I talked about Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, Romans 12, 1, being a living sacrifice, some stuff you're going to have to give up, some things you're going to have to get rid of that you thought you should be doing, you got to give it up, a living sacrifice. 2, verse 2, you're going to have to yield your thoughts to God. You're going to yield your thoughts to His thoughts, let His thoughts take over. Number 3, you're going to have to get rid of your ego. You can't figure it out. You ain't going to conquer everything by yourself. Get rid of your ego. You ain't all that. I ain't all that. We ain't all that. He is all that. And we become all that when we allow Him to flow through us. When you do these things, then you're able to work the process. The process of getting revelation knowledge or revealed knowledge. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 9th verse. Turn there and we'll close there. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. It don't take long to cover a lot of information. You have a lot to digest. You have a lot to go study. Understanding this process. Understanding that it ain't going to be just you reading the scriptures. You're going to have to be trained to hear the voice of God. You're going to have to be trained to get revelation knowledge. You're going to have to be trained to get information from this unseen world, to be access this unseen world so you can see, hear, and do things that others can't see, hear, and do. Watch this. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 9th verse. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 9th verse. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man or the soul or the mind of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Verse 10, love it. But forget all verse 9, he's saying. It wasn't revealed before, but God has revealed them unto us. Revealed them what? The keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, capitalized, meaning the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So this is why it's hard for you to meditate. This is why Satan wants you to come to church and just have your problems in the back of your mind that you're focusing on, that you're trying to solve. Because when you get into, when you do like Jacob, and you let go of all your fleshly holes that you have, how I'm going to figure this out, how I'm going to make this happen, and you begin to receive revelation knowledge from God. Once you receive, you saw how easy the devil left Jesus when Jesus was saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Even Satan said it was written. But when Jesus said, it is said, all Jesus did was spoke. He didn't do no acrobats. He spoke. And by the mere speaking of what the Holy Spirit revealed to him, Satan had to leave him for a season. Now, this process is a repetitive process, because if Satan left Jesus for a season, he's going to leave you only for a season. So that means he's going to come back and see if you still know how to operate the process. What process? Can you get information? Can you access a realm that he can't access?